This feast of the Epiphany, which means manifestation, is traditionally kind of the last part of the Christmas story. We get the Annunciation to Mary and finally Jesus' birth after the travel to Bethlehem for the census. And we have the story of the shepherds on Christmas night. And today we get the story of the Magi, the kings. We'll say there were three of them for the sake of the song. It doesn't give us a number, but we three kings is kind of traditional, so we'll go with three Magi. And it would be nice to kind of just see this as the bow wrapping up the Christmas season and all the figures finally arrive at our manger scene. I've seen places, churches and homes where when they set up their little manger scene, the kings are somewhere else. And each day as we get closer to Epiphany, the kings kind of migrate and eventually they all wind up at the manger scene. So here they all are, right where they're supposed to be. We've got sheep and shepherds and kings, and everyone is now complete in the beautiful Christmas manger scene. But today I'd like to focus a little bit more on the Magi as an example for us, as the way that God works and what our response might need to be. I think there are five key lessons that we can learn from the Magi in their story in the gospel today. First, we see that the Magi are inspired to leave their home in the east and go to Jerusalem because of a star, it says. Now, we don't know exactly what the star of Bethlehem was or what it would have looked like, but it couldn't have been just some huge light in the sky. Because when the Magi show up in Jerusalem, they have no clue what's going on. The Magi say, we saw the star, and it appears nobody else has. So it can't be something obvious. Rather, the Magi, the word itself, it might imply some kind of astrologer, something like that. They would have been looking at the stars, and even today, astronomers can kind of pinpoint what the stars were doing at the time of Jesus' birth. And it appears that the star of Bethlehem, perhaps, was not some obvious light in the sky, but rather a series of astrological events, a confluence of stars coming together, the king's star and the father's star and in the constellation of the Virgin and in a specific part of the sky that points towards the Jews in Jerusalem. It would have been something more like that. It would have been there if you're paying attention and you were watching the sky the way the Magi would. I noticed getting out here in the country and staying here last night, I'd forgotten how many more stars there are to be seen here than there are in Washington, D.C. Now, there are plenty of people who think there are stars in D.C., but you can't see the actual stars because of all the light. Imagine the Magi, though, at their time, when there are no human lights. All the stars, they would have spent their nights looking up and seeing the stars. And suddenly they were able to say, what's that? What is that star doing? Why? What does that mean? Those are the kind of questions they were asking. So I think the lesson we can learn here is that God will indeed speak to us. He will send us a message like he did to the Magi. He wanted them to follow the star, go to Bethlehem. But when God speaks to us, it's not going to be some blinding light, probably like knocked St. Paul down on the road. Rather, it's probably going to be subtle. An intimation in our heart, a sense of God's presence. I know it's easier if it would be some big manifestation where God just knocks us over and says, this is what I want you to do. There are very few people that it happens to in Scripture. When I was discerning if I should be a priest, I kind of thought, well, of course I'll be a priest, God, if you want me to, but you're just going to have to let me know, like, definitively, like, make it obvious. And I thought, you know, hey, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, let her know she was going to be the mother of Jesus. Maybe the angel Gabriel, God, could like come to me, you know, fly into my room, sit on my bed and say, hey, Sean, you're supposed to be a priest. I say, thanks, Gabriel. And then I'd know. It just doesn't work that way. It'd be nice, but it doesn't. Rather, God respects our freedom. So he's not going to bowl us over with some irresistible sign that we just can't say no to. It'll be subtle, like the movement of the stars. But it'll be there. The Magi recognized it, and if we are in tune to the voice of God, we can recognize it we'll hear him if we make time for silence. So the first lesson I think we can learn from the Magi is that when God works, he works subtly. Therefore, we have to be paying attention the way the Magi were. Second thing, when the Magi decide that, yes, God wants them to follow the star, they are willing to make great sacrifice to do that. They would have probably been in what today would be Iran, Persia at the time. It would have been a difficult journey across a wilderness to get to Jerusalem, a place they wouldn't have been familiar with. It would not have been easy. They would have had to left their home, their possessions behind to make this journey. So I think the second lesson we can learn from the Magi is that when God calls, perhaps even one of the ways we can know what his plan is to ask, what is the more difficult way? Often when I have two paths in my life that I have to discern, if one seems easier than the other, to me it's normally been a sign the right way is probably the harder way. God often works that way. So we shouldn't be afraid that we hear God calling us. We think we're supposed to do it, but it looks hard. It's going to be hard. The Magi had a hard journey, but think what happened to them over the course of that journey. They would have been purified of all their selfishness. Perhaps they even took a lot with them at the beginning. Maybe, as often happens when we're hiking in the Boy Scouts, you take too much and people just leave it. I guess I didn't really need to carry that lawn chair with me, and you just leave them on the side of the trail. I wonder if that happened to the Magi, that the long journey, yeah, maybe they left some stuff behind even. It would have purified them to be able to see the Christ child. So we too need that. So don't be afraid if things are difficult. That's the second lesson of the Magi. Expect difficult, even choose the difficult. That's probably the way God wants. Third then, when the Magi do finally arrive in Jerusalem, notice that they are there in the center of the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah, God's chosen people. God has spent over 1,000 years preparing his chosen people precisely for the coming of the Messiah. That's the whole reason that he called them together, to prepare them to welcome the Messiah. Now, finally, the Messiah is born, and the Magi show up, who are not Jewish. They don't even really know much about Israel, perhaps. These Gentiles show up in Jerusalem, and they say, "Where is he? He's been born." And everyone in Jerusalem is supposed to be waiting, says, "What? Who? The Messiah? Really? Wait, no?" And almost comically, Herod has to say, "Hold on a minute, let me check. Give me some of my scribes, give me some of my leaders. They say the Messiah has been born. Where is he supposed to be born?" Oh, right, okay. They weren't even ready. They had 1,000 years or more to get ready, and they weren't. And yet, 3 Magi saw it and were ready. So the third lesson on the Magi then is, be careful about following the crowd. It is perhaps instinctual that we think, well, if everybody's doing something, surely that must be right, because why would everybody do it and everybody be wrong? Well, in God's working, often we see the crowd is wrong, the small faithful minority is right. It's a good lesson for us to keep in mind, because we are very tempted to follow the crowd. And yet, especially in our day, the days are far passing and perhaps gone. We could just rely on the entire society here to kind of be Christian, and we could just turn our children loose on society, and society will help raise them. I know when I was growing up, if I did anything wrong, by the time I got home, the neighbors would have already called my mom and let her know everything I did. Well, if we turn our kids just loose on society today, if we just follow what everybody else is doing, we're probably going to wind up in trouble. And at least we're probably going to miss the path that God has for us. So, third lesson of the Magi, the path that God wants us to follow is probably not only difficult, it's probably the path that the few are following rather than the many. Be suspicious of the many. The many in Jerusalem completely missed the birth of the Messiah and even thought it was a bad thing. Whereas the Magi, it says they're overjoyed to see the star. So, it might be difficult to be in the minority, but that is where we will find our great joy, like the Magi did. Perhaps they were even outcast amongst the other magi. Perhaps they thought, you guys are crazy. We don't understand the stars the way you do. And yet they went, three of them. So God can do a lot with just a little. Third lesson. Fourthly, when they finally get to Jesus, what do? They fall on their face, do him homage, and then they give them the very best that they have, their treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh in today's gospel, but the best that they've got. When they encounter Jesus, even though he's just a little baby, he doesn't look like a great and powerful king, somehow they were able to see differently with the eyes of faith that this is not maybe even just a king of the Jews, but a savior for the world. And so they offer their very best. When we come into the presence of Jesus, as surely we do this morning in the Eucharist, we can look to the Magi as an example again of our response. They worship and they give their very best. Pray that every time we celebrate the Eucharist, that we would recognize the presence of Jesus. As surely as he was present in Bethlehem as a little baby in the manger, he is even more present in the Eucharist on the altar today. What we see just in statues here below the altar, the little manger scene, takes place in reality in a much greater way on the altar. Jesus, right here. So what will we do? Well, I pray that our hearts, at least, were able to fall down before the Lord in awe of this mystery, that Jesus is here with us, that we would do as the Magi did, as the shepherds did on Christmas, because it's just as real, and that we would give God our very best. Hopefully, the struggles, the difficulties of the journey of our life have purified us, that we can be detached from the things of this world and present them before the altar to Jesus. That we would hold nothing back. That we would give it all to Jesus. That is the fourth beautiful example of the Magi. But then, finally, the fifth lesson of the Magi. It's almost a little throwaway line, we might think, at the end of the gospel today. But it says, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. They departed for their country by another way. Now, we could say that's a geographical thing, which is true. They didn't go back to Jerusalem. They went back to Persia by another road. But I think spiritually there's something much deeper there. After they encounter Jesus, you can't just go back the same way. You're changed. You have to be changed. You've just been face to face with God. And so they go back, not just a geographically different way, but think about how changed their lives would have been. They can't just go back to doing what they were doing. And the same has got to be true for us. How easy it is each week. We come in the same church, we celebrate Mass, it's all very familiar. And then we just go back out the door and we go back to our way of life and we come back next week and we do it again. Maybe the message on Epiphany today is to think that we encountered Jesus, and we too now have to leave different than when we came. Yes, we're going to go back to our own country, as it were, to our same job, same family, same relationship, same difficulties and struggles. It's all still there. But we have to go back a different way to our own country. We have to recognize something is different now because we've been in the very presence of Jesus. We've given him everything. We want to follow his plan now. What will we do? I don't know what that will look like in your life. The Magi are one story of three people who God chose to reveal himself to and they followed. God wants to do that for each of you. He is calling subtly, like in a star. He is asking you to do something difficult, probably. He's going to lead you on a journey. And we've got to be willing to do it. But when we do it, we shouldn't watch the crowd. We should know that probably the crowd is going the wrong way. And then we find Jesus. And we're overjoyed, as in seeing the star. We fall down. We hold nothing back. Give it all to Jesus. And the end result is that we are changed. I pray that that will happen for you today in this Mass on Epiphany, but every day. Jesus, as surely as he was in the manger, is about to be present on our altar. We fall down, we worship, and then I pray that we have the courage to leave those doors, go back to our own country, but to go by another way, to go changed, knowing that you have encountered the living God, and that makes all the difference.